Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the talk show version of What is Etiquette Anyway? Happy Sunday to all of you, and I thank you so much for taking the opportunity to join us on this evening. We're getting back after being on vacation on last week, and we're really excited about being back. Of course, I'm Donna Paige Riley, also known as the Etiquette Lady. And again, I hope you've had a great weekend. It's been a great weekend here in Atlanta. The weather has been beautiful. The humidity has been pretty much zero, so it's been a great weekend. I'd like to start out by just simply giving you our call-in number. That number is area code 347-324-3295. Once again, area code 347-324-3295. And if you would prefer, as many of you have done, you may send us an email. And the email address is info@pagesetiquette.com. Once again, that is info@pagesetiquette.com. Now, once again, I'm the owner of Pages Etiquette Seminars, which is a company that specializes in both personal as well as professional development training. And also, I'm the author of What is Etiquette Anyway? And that is a book about manners for children, but grown-ups can read it too. And some of the contents that are involved in this particular book, it just teaches children how to be polite, have good telephone manners, good table manners. It covers posture and poise, as well as self-esteem and self-confidence as well. It's a very good read, starting at age 4. This book is age 4 to about 12 years of age. Although, you know, parents can read it too, is what's on the bottom as a subtitle, because it's just general etiquette information, just sort of broken down on a child level. Also, What is Executive Etiquette Anyway? And that book actually covers key ingredients for building successful working relationships. And if you work, then I'm sure we all certainly want to be able to have successful working relationships, no matter what type of work that we do. Now, these books, as well as additional motivational materials, may be purchased on the website, and that address is www.pagesetiquette.com. That's www.pagesetiquette.com. Now, for the new listeners, I always think it's important to answer the question, since the actual show is titled A Question, What is Etiquette Anyway? It's very important to talk about it a little bit, and of course, where the word, the origin of that particular word. Now, the word etiquette itself comes from an old French word meaning ticket. And it later came to mean a prescribed routine, especially a court behavior. And, of course, Charles I and II of England copied the rules of etiquette from the French court. And these rules became requirements of behavior everywhere. Now, the word etiquette is frequently mispronounced. Oftentimes, you hear it called etiquette. And some of you out there may even call it etiquette. And that's because it's spelled E-T-I-Q-U-E-T-T-E. And, of course, we all know that the Q makes the qua sound. And to help you to remember that this word, the Q actually adopts the K sound, is because, remember, we just said that the word itself comes from the word ticket. So it's pronounced etiquette. And I always say that if you say the word slowly, you actually hear yourself say ticket. So etiquette. And, of course, I like to always say that if you have good etiquette, then you have the ticket to society. Now, wouldn't all of you out there just love having and holding the ticket to society? Now, today's topic is, why is proper etiquette essential, or why is etiquette even necessary? Some people might ask, is it necessary? So we're going to talk about that. Also, I've had callers and gotten some emails that they ask, if you're having a specific topic, what if you have a comment on something that's a little different? And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter anytime we're on and you have a question or a comment or you want to talk about something specific, that is fine. That is not a problem at all. I'd like to bring on our co-host, Denise. Are you there?
Hi, Donna. How are you?
I am doing well. And yourself?
I am doing great. It's good to be back from vacation.
Yes, yes. It was very nice. And, of course, we always miss being on.
And, absolutely.
Just so glad to be back. And we're going to certainly talk about, we did receive some emails, and a couple of them, you know, address a variety of different topics, and we will be talking about those. And here again, if you guys would prefer to email, which many of you do, again, the email address is info@pagesetiquette.com, P-A-I-G-E-S, etiquette, and we just learned the proper spelling and pronunciation of that, which is E-T-I-Q-U-E-T-T-E. Now, Denise, hasn't the weather been beautiful here this weekend?
It's been great. I could not have asked for a better time for vacation. It started out a little bit hot, but as the week progressed, it's been quite beautiful.
Absolutely.
I had a good week, Donna, but it's good to be back on What is Etiquette Anyway. I missed it last week, so hopefully
yeah.
We'll have a lot of callers this week and emails to answer as well.
Yeah, so we're going to do that. Why don't we go ahead and bring on our first caller. Hello, caller, can you hear me?
Yes, hi, can you hear me?
Yes, thanks for calling What is Etiquette Anyway. How are you?
I'm fine, how are you?
Oh, doing great. And if you would say hello to our co-host, Denise.
Hi, Denise, how are you?
I am doing great. How are you today?
I'm fine.
Good.
Well,
and
I was calling in. I don't remember what this weekend's title is.
It's basically why proper etiquette is essential, or, you know, a pet peeve, or just whatever you'd like to discuss is fine.
I'd like to go with that. Why is etiquette necessary?
Mm-hmm.
It's necessary for people to know how to live with each other. It's necessary to know how to treat each other. And it's just necessary in order to have some parameters that we all do things somewhat similar, especially when it comes to how we treat others and how we do certain things. My pet peeve is they don't teach it in school soon enough. And I don't know what we would need to do in order to get our school officials to understand and to see that there are a lot of things that are missing from the curriculum that's taught to students. And one of them is to actually start them out with social etiquette.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that we need to start them out with it at least in first grade.
Mm-hmm.
At least. So at least by the time they're reaching fourth grade, they're having some idea as to what it is they need to do and how to conduct themselves. And then they're already formulating good social etiquette for when they're older in junior high and high school or middle school and high school. Are we anywhere near getting into our schools, or do you know of any school systems that are attacking this creature that is so desperately needed?
Sure. It is incredible. I remember it's been about 11 years ago, I think, now that the governors mandated what is called character education. And unfortunately, well, I guess you could look at it as unfortunate as well as fortunate, for the simple fact that, you know, this is the type of thing that really should be covered at home, but the fact is it's not. So therefore, with the students spending the majority of the day, what the governors did is they stepped up and mandated what was called character education. Now, in my opinion, character education is pretty much a double-edged sword. It sounds good. It looks great on paper. But what I've noticed in a lot of the schools, especially, you know, at the younger age, I guess the elementary stages, you might see a little bit where they identify a character word, and they may have to do, they might have to write what it is, or they may have to do a little miniature project or something. And, of course, as the student progresses, middle school, you know, you may have a word on the marquee as well as high school, but for most of the children, if you really ask them what it is, they really cannot tell you. But, you know, like I said, it looks good on paper. But unfortunately, this is something that really should be covered at home, but to go over the next hurdle, the bottom line is, for the majority of the children, it's not. So some of the schools, we've even worked with some of the schools, look at it maybe as an extracurricular activity, and perhaps this is something that could be available, you know, after school or maybe once a month or something like that. But if I understand what you are saying correctly, it really should be a part of, somehow a part of the curriculum, because social skills is extremely important. And oftentimes, quite naturally, in the schools, academics are very, very important, but only when coupled with social skills makes a child totally well-rounded, or makes a person, period, totally well-rounded. And, you know, if I've understood your comments correctly, that's kind of where you're looking at, that if this is just something that is so necessary, you know, for children. And quite naturally, children are like sponges. And when you mentioned the first grade, they're like sponges. And pretty much if they learn it one time, they pretty much have it, especially, you know, when they have a parent or a teacher that reinforces it. So you are absolutely right. And it really does need to be, you know, somehow built in, you know, to the curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of children are just out of control. They would not have as many discipline problems in school because, you know, that covers basically, you know, communication skills and how to interact. Social skills is what it is. Social etiquette, just like you said, is social skills. And they are so important. And even, you know, with this, you know, even moving from the school, oftentimes in the workplace, you know, since people are grown and, you know, they've gone to college and they've developed these wonderful hard skills, and everybody knows what hard skills are, etiquette, you know, in the workplace is really considered a soft skill. And most of the time, people think they automatically have it, but they don't. And so it is just, it is so very, very crucial that people, you know, develop and have good etiquette, because it truly does, you know, set you apart the hard skills, even, you know, kind of staying in the workplace for a moment, the hard skills, you know, are technical. And I like to look at the soft skills as being more personable. And, you know, most people, I'm sure they can identify if they've worked anywhere, then they can think about the people who may, you know, be very, very smart, if you will, or technically savvy. But when it comes to interacting with other people or being a team player, and they don't have a clue. And that's basically what it goes back to, is the soft skills. You know, how you carry yourself, how you interact with others. And this is important, even like you were saying, starting in the first grade. You know, children have to learn how to carry themselves, how to respect themselves, how to respect others. And that's part of interacting with others. Then going back into the workplace, and you see how these tie together. You know, soft skills can basically help you get a job or keep a job or excel, you know, in your particular career. So it is just vital. And go right ahead.
And I agree with you on that point as far as in the workplace is concerned, because I have personally witnessed during my years of working that having special social etiquette skills does help, but it's very important that you learn certain skills so that you can avoid certain predicaments that can occur sometimes. Mm-hmm. And one I can give you just with a particular place where I worked, we went out one evening. I had been a lot of things going on at work, a lot of hard work done, and everybody was really tired, and we said, let's go and have a cocktail. Well, I agreed to go. They always tease me because when I agreed to go, I always sip tea. So in any case, we were out for our cocktails and tea, and one of the gentlemen actually just got totally wasted. And when we were all returning to our cars in the parking lot, he actually passed out in the parking lot. Now, with me being a lady, I knew how to carry myself. I knew not to allow myself to even drink something that could possibly cause me to act that way. You know, I wasn't going to take a chance on that. I decided I, as always, would sip tea. Because as it ended up, I ended up being the person to take everybody home. And then, of course, the next weekday that we were at work, I was not the one that was spoken about as having had too much to drink or didn't know how to act and passing out in the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in corporate, that's something you really don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so those skills that you learn when you're little carries forth into how you are and how you carry yourself in high school, which it does make a difference if you have certain social etiquettes and have been taught certain values, that you carry those with you into high school. And then when kids nowadays in high school, they're out in the world seeing so much more than a lot of us did years back. They have a lot of mentors and places that they go to see how people are doing their jobs and to shadow executives, shadow doctors, shadow people who have chosen certain careers. And if they are not, or if they do not exemplify a person who has learned some social etiquette skills, their teachers are not going to select them or the powers that be at their school to go out and represent their school. Even if this is something that they choose to do when they, you know, matriculate.
Mm-hmm.
But just having those skills in place is going to be so helpful. And you never know who you're going to meet who might be able to help you get a scholarship.
Exactly.
And if you never know who you're going to meet who might be the person that has the pen in hand that says admitted or the stamp that says denied. You never know when you're going to meet those people. And my challenge today is I challenge all educators who are out there who are possibly listening to step up to the plate and start helping to teach the families how to teach their children. Mm-hmm. Because with everything now being left to the teachers, we're going to have to help the parents teach the children at home. I'm from real old school. My great-grandmother used to say, charity has to be shown at home before it can be spread abroad. And it took me a long time to understand what she meant by that, which was just simply your basic etiquette.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing how to act when you go certain places, knowing how to treat other people. Mm-hmm. You have to learn it at home before you can show it somewhere else.
That's right. That's right. Great comments. And mentioning that, in a couple of weeks we have our show coming up. We're going to be talking to several of the educators with school actually starting, I know, and I believe tomorrow will conclude the counties, all of the counties in Georgia. Some of them started last week, but I believe if I'm correct that tomorrow will actually be the last group of counties, if you will, that will be returning to school. So we're going to be talking to some of the educators and asking them for tips that they want to share, you know, with the parents. And we've done this before. We did it just prior to school being out for the summer, I do believe. But it's really important that we do a recap, because for those parents who do not go into the schools, which is really a shame, that's a whole other show on parents and etiquette, to be involved with the teachers, because it takes a lot of involvement, you know, even building social skills. You know, it takes a village to raise a child, so it's the same type of thing. But we're certainly going to have some educators come on and talk about some things that the parents can do at home. And like you had just mentioned, you know, the teachers have a lot to do. And not only educate, but oftentimes just really raising and rearing these children. And they need help, and the help needs to come from the parents. You know, although it should, and everybody says, well, you know, it should be coming from home. Yeah, that's correct. But bottom line is, going to the next step, oftentimes it isn't. So what happens when it does not come from home? Then yes, the teacher certainly will have to kind of step in and help the parent at that point. And so, you know, we'll be inviting parents to, you know, to call in as well and to share. I always say, even when I teach parenting workshops, that, you know, parents aren't perfect and the children don't come with a handbook. However, you know, we have to attack parenting just like we do our career, you know, or job or a project. You know, we have to work on it, and we have to continuously work on it, and that is, you know, sharing information and ideas and getting advice about how can we perfect as well as we can this parenting. And I thank you so much for your wonderful, wonderful comments. And you're welcome to stay on with this if you'd like. I'd like to cover one of the, we've received several different emails. There's one email here that says, what's the best way to reprimand your supervisor? And I think Denise is our HR expert, and this might be a good question for you, Denise. What it just says, it doesn't give any details. It says, what's the best way to reprimand your supervisor? And, of course, it's signed anonymous, so I guess I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
This may be, well, something you want to address.
Well, Donna, that is a tough question, and many people in the workplace oftentimes come across situations that have to do with their upper management or the direct supervisor. And I know that in the workplace sometimes there's a fear of retaliation if someone talks to them or talks about them and complains about them. But in most businesses, there are steps that you can take. Normally, there is an open door policy. And that open door policy states that you can talk to anyone at any time about your particular situation or problem or issue, and that the management should be open and receptive to whatever you have to say, whether it's something good or something bad. And once you've done that, if your issue is not taken care of, then there is a next step. Then you go to the next person over that particular person, and you take it up the chain of command, if you will. Now, on occasion, I have encountered a store manager, a boss of mine, who was determined to do things not always by the book. And in my world, it's policies, it's procedures, it's the correct way to do things. And so I did have to counsel this particular manager on many occasions. I know that everybody's not in a position where they can counsel someone, but, you know, you can certainly sit down with the person and express what the person is doing or saying or how it makes you feel. Unfortunately, in this particular situation, I guess I should say fortunately in this particular situation, after he did not listen to the counseling and handling situations in that particular environment, he eventually was reprimanded but also terminated from that particular company. It was a tough situation for me. I'd never been involved in that type of thing before, but I've gone through it, and when people don't do the right things, especially for a company that is trying to be very fair and consistent in handling situations, you should be able to go and talk to people and get their guidance or help. And sometimes when you do complain, you may find that others have complained as well and that they may be working on a situation to come to a conclusion or a solution for that particular person or manager. In another occasion, a manager was moved out of a particular area and placed somewhere else so that they could possibly do, work with different people or do differently or work with someone else who could guide them in a better situation. But certainly it is a good thing to go to your supervisor if you feel comfortable and not go above. Just know that retaliation is something that is zero tolerance, and that when most companies say that, they actually mean that.
So do you think it would be best to just kind of set up a meeting, or do you think it would be better if this person would send an email, or what are you?
Well, you know, it all really depends on what the situation is and if that person really actually is comfortable talking to that particular supervisor. I always try to get people to come forward and say whatever it is that's bothering. It may be a simple solution. It may not take a full blown out investigation or even an inquiry or interview from others to come to a conclusion. It may take just a sit down with that person and perhaps have someone else in the room also. In many places, the HR manager will sit as kind of monitor that particular session. But I think face-to-face is good. If you have to do an email, then perhaps then it needs to go a little bit further if you're not comfortable. You can always use a mediator. If you're not comfortable sitting with that person, that mediator may be able to sit down and tell that other person how what they're doing, how it makes that person feel. That's another way to handle it as well. But certainly if there is no solution for that person who is complaining, then the next step would be to go through the chain of command to the next person who's in charge of this particular manager.
Great advice, especially for such a broad question, because there were no just to the point, what's the best way to reprimand your supervisor? So,
Well, you know, it's hard to reprimand your supervisor when you report to them. When you report to somebody, it's really reprimanding. I don't know if that's the correct word. I'm hoping that this person who wrote the email is looking for a solution to an issue that's going on. So without enough information, it's hard to really pinpoint exactly what they need to do in that situation.
Sure. Great information. Let me see if we can bring another caller on. Hello, caller, can you hear me? Hello? Hello, caller, can you hear me? Okay, all right. Okay, this is great. This will give us a chance to catch up on some other emails. Here's another email. It says, a few weeks ago, your topic was travel etiquette. With the summer ending, what's some tips to help make the last few weeks of travel a good trip? This comes from Deja. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, D-A-C-I-A, from Washington. And we did talk about travel etiquette a little bit a few weeks ago, and I just wanted to, I didn't have an opportunity at that time, so I'm glad she actually posed this question because this will give me an opportunity to talk about this a little bit. I wrote an article years ago that was titled, Vacation is Not the Time to Leave Your Manners at Home. You know, you think sometimes, when you're going on vacation, you just kind of let everything go. But one thing you don't want to let go, don't want to let your manners go. Just going to read a little excerpt. It says, peak vacation time is here, and you are sure to have a pleasant vacation if you pack your manners and take them with you. Here are a few travel tips. If you're traveling by automobile, make sure to buckle up and keep younger children in their car seats. Although they may feel restrained after a period of time, and you may be tempted to take them out, no matter how tempted, don't take them out while the car is moving. If you must, pull over and take them out for a while. Now, when stopping at rest stops, always accompany children to the restroom and wait for them. This is a safety issue here. Rest stops are prime target areas for kidnapping. Be cautious. When using the restroom, be sure to leave the bathroom clean for the next visitor. Hopefully you found it clean, so you know how that goes. Then talk a little bit about keeping the skies friendly here. If you are traveling by airplane, be sure to arrive at the airport early. Now, let me just put a pin right there for a minute. Now that you can actually check in online, which I thought was just really great. You can check in online prior to going to the airport, which, you know, when I saw that even last week, I was a little bit leery, but I said, oh, wow, I can check in online, so that means I don't necessarily have to get there early. Wrong. Okay. Security is very tight, and you must allow yourself ample time for thorough security checks, and I did. I just assumed that, you know, I could at least shave off at least 30 minutes, but I was wrong because, to me, in my experience, even though I had checked in early and had downloaded the boarding pass, we still had to go through pretty much the same procedure. You know, still had to stand in line and still had to wait. And it was extremely busy. And I thought, oh, wow. You know, so those of you out there who can check in and when you're informed that you'll be able to check in before you leave your house, don't be, please. Still get there and arrive early because you don't want to be shocked, you know. So I wanted to certainly share that with. Of course, you want to make sure your luggage has ID tags and the bags are securely packed. Also, some of the things you can do if you are checking in on curb, you know, at the curb, be sure to have your photo ID handy and your tip as well. Now, boarding the plane, of course, you want to listen attentively for your row to be called for boarding. Most airplanes board first-class passengers first and then board rows back to front, usually. But, you know, that can happen, and some of the flights they just may call after they board the first-class or business-class passengers. Then they may just open it up to whomever. And you want to make sure, or something else too, even when you're sitting down on the plane, make sure that you keep your feet out of the aisles. And I know sometimes it's kind of tight, especially if the plane is full, and especially if you have, you know, long legs or something. You want to try to do the best that you can by not putting your legs out in the aisles. And that's for, you know, just being courteous as well as safety issues. You don't want anyone that's walking by or the flight attendants to kind of trip over your feet, because that wouldn't be real funny. And something else, kind of a pet peeve of mine, make sure that you look behind you before you recline your seat. You know, anybody ever had that happen? You know, you may be doing something and all of a sudden, boom, somebody reclines their seat and they hit your tray, and, you know, it's just, you want to avoid the drama and just simply turn around and, you know, let them know that you're going to pull your seat back or make sure they're going to be comfortable, you know, because you don't want to spill anybody's drink or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just common courtesies for travel. And a lot of times, you know, people always say that, you know, common sense. You know, oh, people should know that already. That's just common sense. But as we know, common sense is not necessarily so common anymore. So that's one of the main reasons why we're doing this show. Okay, let's see if we can pull another caller on. Okay, caller, can you hear me? Hello? Okay, they just disconnected. Maybe now, callers, when you call in, thank you so much for holding. But don't chicken out and hang up, okay? It's okay. We're not going to get you or anything. So, you know, feel free. We do just got another email. It says, oh, pet peeves. This is a pet peeve. This is a listener from Mableton, Georgia. One of my pet peeves is when someone has sinus issues and they constantly blow their nose and scratch their throat at the table. How do you tell someone that this is getting on your nerves? And I believe, if I know what they're talking about, scratching their throat.
Know with that sound in the back of their throat.
Right, it's kind of like a sound effect.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and I can only imagine the sound effect coupled with the blowing of the nose, all done at the table.
Mm.
That is just not a good thing. I'll start out by saying, anytime you blow your nose or you have a cold or something and you know you're dealing with a sinus condition and you're out, especially in a restaurant or you're at an event, it is so imperative that you just get up and go to the restroom. Just excuse yourself and go to the restroom. It is perfectly okay to do that. And I tell you, more people than not will be glad that you excused yourself and left their presence in order to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, Denise, if you remember, there is, I don't know, maybe a month ago, 4 or 5 weeks ago, I think, someone had called in, and this was one of their pet peeves about
blowing
their nose.
I do remember.
Remember that?
I do.
It's really, really common, and what is so important to just try to be courteous. And to me, even, in my opinion, when you blow your nose blindly, I mean, you don't know if you've left something. You know, something's still kind of sitting there, and then that'll gross somebody out.
Yes, it would. And also, you know, Donna, if you have children at the table as well, and you're doing that, I mean, the thing is to excuse yourself so that if children need to cough or blow their noses, that they'll know they need to get up and excuse themselves as well. So it's all a learning and teaching kind of a thing as well. Restaurants these days, people don't like to cook, and you see a lot of families out. So I think it would be good to at least show the children as well that that would be the, you know, the thing to do is to excuse yourself from the table.
Yeah, that's a great teaching moment.
Mm-hmm.
Especially dealing with children, you want to take advantage of those actual teaching moments because
absolutely.
And I think a caller had called in and also had said something about a cold. No, sneezing. I think she said sneezing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people sneezing and just not covering up their mouth or nose or face or whatever. So these things are very, very important, even though, yes, it would seem like common sense, but let's face it, everybody doesn't have common sense. So that's why we're doing this show, so we can just kind of share. And I thank you for those emails. And hopefully, you know, people will be a little more considerate because, once again, probably didn't even think anything of it. And one more quick thing on the nose situation. I remember I was sitting in a meeting with an administrator, and he was talking and talking, and he had just something, you know, distasteful looking in his nose, and you know, and we're talking and just talking. So basically what I did is I just told him, you know, that no, I offered him a tissue. That's what it was. I offered him a tissue, and he was very grateful for that because he didn't know, and it was hard for me to sit there and continue a conversation and look at him and not be able to see what was going on with that. So he was very grateful.
Mm-hmm. And I did that in an interview one day. I look at people when I talk to them constantly, and this gentleman had the same thing, and I did express that he had something there, and I gave him a paper towel. That's all I had. But he was so grateful. He said a lot of people would not tell you. They would just let it sit there, and I think that's a pet peeve of mine. If I have something on my face, in my nose, or wherever, you know, please tell me.
Right.
Let me know. I don't want to walk around. I'm sure you don't either want to walk around with that stuff sitting in places. That's kind of disgusting.
And remember, because I know we've gotten a lot of questions, just how, and a lot of people just don't know how to tell people.
True.
And best thing I can say that it's not necessarily what you say, it's how you say it. And people are generally very, very grateful if you tell them something that they just didn't know. They're usually very grateful, and just be nice. You know, remember to treat others the way you want to be treated, the golden rule, others as you would have them doing to you. So, you know, you would want someone to say something to you in a nice, you know, and polite way, so you want to do that as well. Well, Denise, wow, looks like we are running out of time here. I'm glad we had an opportunity to answer some of those emails. Unfortunately, some of the callers, we were unable to connect with them, but we'll certainly be back on next Sunday at the same time on 7:30 p.m. And, of course, you've been listening to What Is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show version. I want to thank you again for listening. Feel free, if you were unable to call in today or email us, go ahead and shoot us an email again, info@pagesetiquette.com. Certainly want to encourage you to feel good about yourself, be considerate of others, and certainly be the best you can be. It's just nice to be nice. And remember again the golden rule, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, or treat others the way you want to be treated. And remember, once again, we will look forward to speaking with you on next Sunday at 7:30. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. have a great week this week, and we will certainly be looking forward to speaking with you again on next Sunday. Take care, and God bless.
Good night.